I need to introduce him. You all know him pretty well, I think. So I'm just going to pass the time over to him, the mic.
Selamat pagi. Good morning. All right, I want to teach you something new. I say God is good. No, that is very old. I want to teach you something new. I say God is good, and you respond by saying His mercies endures forever. Are you ready? God is good. God is good. Amen. I got a very important announcement to make. The best is yet to come. Amen. Even for Malaysia, right? Even we see the gloom and the doom, but the best is yet to come. How many of you love Malaysia? All right. Half of you love Penang. All right. Just before I share the word this morning, can you put up the PowerPoint for the conference? Say next year. Can I hear a voice? Wow, time flies. 2020. Hallelujah. I remember 20 years ago, Dr. Martin was talking about 2020. And next year is 2020. Wow. Great. Now, if you know you've been alive for the last 50 years, anybody been alive since the last 50 years? Can I see your hand? You'll notice a lot of changes in our life, in our nation, in technology, and in so many things. But the next 10 years, 2020 to 2030, there's going to be greater changes than the last 50 years. Are you there? And one of the things is AI, artificial intelligence. You can have a robot at home asking questions, replying you, cook for you on the TV and do whatever. Help your maths homework, your son's maths homework. Is it wonderful? You ready? And that's good. It's coming. Maybe you have cars without drivers. Anybody would like to sit in a car without a driver? Do you know it's safer than with a driver? Driver make mistake. They fall asleep. They quarrel with their wife. They need to go toilet. Anyway, but what about spiritually? Are you ready for the change? All right? This team for this conference aligning for 2020 and beyond. Now, it's at the doorstep. You're going to be the host church. Very privileged and honored to be the host church. That means you can just walk in, all right? Now, I'm going to make it very easy for you. Registration is not going to be US$10, but it's going to be 30 ringgit for Fettes Park Baptist Church if you sign up today, all right? If you register today, come if you have the time. You don't need money. It's very easy. You're local. Just come. And I'm sure you'll be blessed to receive a fresh word, a fresh understanding, and prepare yourself for 2020 and beyond. And I use that word aligning. And I think it's very important for us to align ourselves with God, with His will, with His purpose for our life, our family, our nation. And I'm sure God has something wonderful in store for us. Amen? Okay, thank you. Let's go to our slide on uncertainty. Now, I'm sure there'll be some point in our life that we go through this season or this feeling of uncertainty. I was just looking at Jeremy's son. Is that your son? You know, it's so wonderful. They're so cute. They're so little. And you just enjoy them. But as they grow up, the next thing is schooling. Next thing is university. Ayah, where to go, huh? Which course to go, which country to go. And I still remember homeschooling our son. It was a big step of faith. By homeschooling our son, it means that he will not go to the normal Malaysian school. He will not go to University Malaya, where I studied. Not a very good university now. It was good when I was there. So they have a different vice chancellor now. My vice chancellor was very good. You're smiling. No, I'm not going to get into the politics. So we go through a lot of uncertainty in life. And the question was, when we homeschool our son, where is he going to study? Australia, UK, America, UK, Ulu Klang. Thank God there was a prophet who came when he was about 10, and the prophet prophesied that he's going to study in America. That sounds good. America is so big. Which city? Which place? Ohio, Kansas, Dallas, Hawaii. He's also America, right? So we go through life with uncertainty. Last week, I had a terrible flu for a week. I was down with fever, cold, cough. And two things happened. Number one, I was anxious. I was anxious whether I could preach that following Sunday. So on Friday, I still had the fever. I was high fever. So desperately, I went to see a doctor. And I told her what I was going through for the last 5 days. She says, I need to take blood tests. Okay, take blood tests. I said, are you ruling out dengue fever? She said, yes, I had dengue fever before and it's still very fresh in my mind. I was hoping, Lord, please, no dengue fever. I don't want to go to the hospital. I don't want to let myself, please. So those uncertainty moments of waiting for the results, the blood tests. Oh, what a relief. Thank God. My platelet count was quite high. And it's not dengue. Hallelujah. So I recovered and I went to preach last Sunday. Give Jesus a wonderful clap. How many of you are afraid to die? Don't put up your hand. I think this is a very important practical issue that each one of us will face at some point of our life. Not necessarily when you're 80 or 90. Because death actually got no respect for age, nationality, whether you're a janitor or a senator. Now, there is Pastor Lim, there is a pastor in Kuching. He composed a song. Kan wai chu, wai chua. Chali mai li kui gua, usi wa e kia, usi mzai an zua kia, usi kana tia bo tio de e sia, kan wa e chu. Okay. Sorry, those of you who don't understand Hokkien. His song basically says, Lord, hold my hand. I cannot hear you, I cannot see you, I cannot feel you, I don't know where I'm going. Hold my hand, Lord. Now, Pastor Lim wrote this song, and to understand the background of why he wrote this song, when he was pastoring a Chinese church in Kuching many years ago, his congregation were elderly people, and one by one start to die. And he discovered that most of them, in the elderly age, are afraid to die, even though they are Christian, they are born again. That's why he wrote this song, Hold My Hand. Okay, I'm using that, but in the context of not just about dying, but in life too. Just one of the most powerful prayers that you and I can praise, Lord, hold my hand. Lord, you hold my hand. I know I hold your hand, but it's another thing when you let God hold your hand. And Lord, you lead me, you guide me, you take me where I will be. By the way, when you die, you're going to a better place. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more medicine, no more tonka, no more quarrel. No more aging, and 90-year-old lady looks like 19 years. Isn't that wonderful? No more balding and no more working, no more paying bills. Isn't it awesome? Perfect. The flowers so alive. The colors so wonderful. The places. Wow, you'll be with your loved ones celebrating. Hallelujah. Their mansion prepared for us. Isn't that wonderful? Actually, the next time you attend a funeral, feel sorry for yourself. Because the person has gone to a better place. And those who experience life after death and come back, they don't want to come back. Given a choice, they want to remain in heaven. So heaven must be a better place. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward. Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So we go through uncertainty in life. What if you lose your job tomorrow, God forbid? What if your visa suddenly cancelled and you have to go back? What 6 months later you're diagnosed with something, the doctor says you got 6 months to live? We do not know about tomorrow, just the songwriter says, but we know who holds tomorrow. Let me give you two important things about uncertainty. How do you overcome? In the next slide, please. You see, as a Christian, we must realize that we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? That means you just trust God, trust His Word, and trust Him. How many of you believe God is your Father? God is not just your God. He is your Heavenly Father. In other words, He has the best in store for you. Amen? And the second thing that we can live our Christian life is based on the Word of God. Because your word is the lamp unto my feet and the light unto our path. So God speaks to us through the written word. God can speak to us through prophetic gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I hope you believe because it's alive, it's well, it's in the Bible. And I've experienced it so many days of my life. Okay, let me share with you one experience. Many years ago, I sensed a call to go into the full-time ministry. At that point, I was lecturing in Mara Institute of Technology. I was lecturing economics. But I just sensed that prompting, that call to go into the full-time ministry. And I don't know whether it's just a feeling, it's real, it's from God. And as you probably know, it's a very important decision in life, right? To just quit your job and go into the full-time ministry. Is there somebody here you sense the call to go full-time ministry? Come for the conference. So, I decided I wanted to find out. How many of you know in life, when you go through some uncertainty, it's always good to find out. For example, let's say you're making a trip to, let's say, New Zealand. It's good to find out something about New Zealand, the weather, the airport, a few things, so that when you go, you are not surprised. Right? You want to find out information. So I said, look, I cannot carry on with this feeling anymore. I need to know whether God called me or not. If God called me, this is what I'm going to do. If God didn't call me, this is what I'm going to do. But I don't want to stay in the situation of uncertainty for too long. So I decided to take a 3 days break. And I went to a Moa prayer house, which was run by our late Lucy Tan. I don't know anybody knows Lucy Tan. She's a Methodist pastor. And she had this prayer ministry. So I decided to go 3 days just to seek the Lord myself. And the second morning, I received a phone call from a friend from Malacca. His name is Pastor Peter Lim. He says, that time he was not a pastor. We are talking about 28, 29 years ago. Many years ago now. More than that, sorry. 30 over years ago. So what happened was, he called me. He says, look, there is a preacher from America. He's coming to speak in our church. Why don't you come and attend? I say, okay. So, Moa to Malacca is about 1 hour's drive. Anybody been to Malacca? Okay, the rest of you, you only been to Penang, okay? So, Malacca to Moa was 1 hour's drive. So, I drove. And when I went to the meeting, it was already started. The place was full, so I sat at the back, the last seat at the back. There was this preacher, he's a black preacher, and he was calling out certain person and give them a prophecy. And after some time, he just looked at me, he pointed at me, he says, you. So I look at the back, there was nobody, he says, you. I'm the last one on the seat, you know. He says, stand up. So I stood up. And this is what he says, God has called you in the full-time ministry. Wow, so cute, so sharp, so accurate. I was just praying, Lord, show me whether you have called me to full-time ministry. And that's God used a prophet to answer the question right on the dot. Nothing more, nothing less. So, it was good when you know the assurance that you are called and you can start moving into the direction where God wants you to be. How many of you believe God leads and He directs, right? Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, you acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Believe me, there are many times and occasions in my life that as you trust God, as you ask Him, He will lead us, guide us, and direct us. Amen? Many years ago, I wanted to immigrate to Canada. Anybody had some ideas or some desire to immigrate to another country? No? Okay. I had some 30 over years ago. So I wanted to immigrate to Canada, and I met this guy. He runs this agency of doing a Canadian application to immigrate. And at that point of time, it will cost about 30,000 ringgit to process the fees and everything. And since I was very special, I was a pastor, he offered me for free. That must be God, right? I mean, that must be God, right? You save 30,000 of fees and he's going to do the application for you. So I put in my papers and I didn't want to seek God in case he say no. Isn't that wonderful? I'm sure none of you Christians are like that, but I was. I was very afraid that God would say no. Like a young man who fall in love with a girl and wanted to marry her and don't want to ask God, don't want to ask the parents, just in case they say no, right? But somehow in my heart, I knew it was a good idea, but not God's idea. Did you follow? It was a good idea, but it was not God's idea. So, one day I met this man of God from India. I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him or ask him about the Canadian migration and everything. So he lay and he started to pray and he started to prophesy. And he says, your headquarters is in Malaysia, meaning you do not migrate. He doesn't know about me already putting the papers. So how many of you believe if you trust God, if you would surrender your life, your future, God will lead and direct you? Even though sometimes you don't want Him to direct you. That's why I said earlier, one of the most powerful prayer that you can pray is, Lord, hold my hand. Lead me, guide me. Even though at times I cannot hear you, I cannot see you, I cannot feel you, I do not know where I'm going. Alright? Another way that God lead and direct us is what I call through the Word of God. And I have many occasions where God speaks to me as I read the Word. May I suggest, and I know you Baptists, you're strong in this, that you need to have a consistent Bible reading every day. It's not just hit and run, but you have a consistent Bible reading from Genesis to Revelation. That's what I do for many years, and I still do. All right? Many years ago, I was asked by a good friend of mine, a business person, and he was a developer, and he asked me to invest in his company. So it was a very good return. He says, Paul, if you invest 100,000 in my company in 2 years' time, you get 200. Sounds good, right? Now, this is a genuine company, and he's a developer. So he says, I got this project, and why don't you just invest 100,000? And he was also my good friend. So I said, good. So I put in 100,000. Hopefully, in 2 years' time, I'll get 200. So 100% return. Sounds good, right? You don't do investment in Penang, right? So I put in my money, the savings that I had. This was like about 30 years ago. Put in my money. And after some time, the company went bankrupt. Boosh. The management who took my money, cabut. And so now, interesting. Now I face with a problem. I face with uncertainty. Can I get back my money? Any suggestion? So I went to see a lawyer. A Christian lawyer. I sat down. I showed him the paper, my investment. And this Christian lawyer said to me, Pastor Paul, you're a pastor, right? I said, yes. What does the Bible say about suing another brother? A lawyer asking a pastor, and I'm asking him to send a letter to sue my friend, a Christian brother. I said, well, I said, I know what the Bible said, but by the way, I asked him, can you tell me how can I recover the money? So I threw back the question to him. He couldn't answer me. I said, sir, send the letter. So he wrote the legal letter, sent it, and the next day, that's my former house. I have this place where I go every morning to read my Bible. It's a little garden, and I just like to read my Bible, have my prayer there. So that morning, the next morning, after all that is done and seen the lawyer and asked him to send the letter, I was reading consistently, following, not hit and run, but follow consistently. And that morning, I was reading 1 Corinthians 6. Come with me to 1 Corinthians 6. You wouldn't believe it, but all right, let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. He says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to life? Let's go to verse 6. Okay, verse 5. I say to you, to your shame, is so that there is not a wise man among you, not even one. Verse 6 says, brother goes to law against brother. Oh, put it this way. Pastor Paul Ang goes to law against brother so-and-so, and therefore before unbelievers. Verse 7. Now, therefore, it's already an utter failure for you that you should go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? I stopped at that verse. It was like a knife pierced into my heart and the word of God. I mean, how sharp, how accurate the timing. You knew the background the day before, right? And this morning, I'm reading this. So, is God speaking? Yes, now I have a very difficult decision to make. Obey or disobey. Okay, let me just sidetrack by saying, decision-making, let me give you some golden rules about decision-making. Number one, never make decision when you are emotionally charged and high. And you make promises, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and then you cannot fulfill it. Right? Like Herod promised half of the kingdom. Second, golden rule. Never make decision when you're emotionally down and discouraged. I want to quit. I want to leave ministry. I want to die. I want to go back to my father's house. Oh, you don't understand those statements. Never mind. But basically, it's when you are discouraged, when you're negatively down, don't make decision. Third golden rule. Give yourself time before you make important decisions like investment, marriage, immigration, where to study, and very important issues in life. Give yourself time. Do your homework. Don't just plunge into it. Okay, come back to my story. So now I have a choice to obey God. To obey God means my 100,000 bye-bye. By the way, the Bible used the word cheated. How many of you here have been cheated money? Scam, you lend people money, you invest in something, don't put up your hand. I'm sure there are, right? Or can I ask you to put up your hand? Like me, I'm very honest, I'm telling you my story now. How many here, you lend people money, never got back, you invested something, or you're cheated, or you are scammed? Oh, more hands. Oh, thank you. We are in good company. Okay. Can I be honest with you? We get cheated because we are greedy. Let's be honest. 95% of people who are cheated of their money or investment is because we are greedy. I was greedy. I give 100,000. In 2 years' time, I get another 100,000, 200,000. Oh, doesn't work. It was legal. It was right. It looks good. But bottom line, my motive was I was greedy. Now, recently I met a scammer, a Nigerian scammer. A real Nigerian scammer in Malaysia who repented. And he made a lot of money by scamming people. And now he's a Christian. He backslided, became a Christian. He was in the camp I was ministering in Bentong recently. Anyway, I asked him, I said, what is the cause of people get scammed? What do you think is the number one reason why people get cheated? As a scammer, as a person who cheat people money, he said greed. He said greed. You put in 20,000, you get 100,000. Clever! In 5 minutes. Sounds good, huh? You pay administration fees for 20,000, you get 100,000. Second reason why people get cheated, lack of information. You plunge into something, you never make a study. You never make a study of the character of the person who is selling you the product or selling you the land or selling you the house or whatever. Or this so-called company set up, very good company, will make a lot of money. Actually, I've heard all this the last 30, 40 years, especially big breakthrough. Millions of money will come in one. Have you heard or not? Millions! And sounds very good. We could use this money to feed the poor, to preach the gospel. It sounds so good. Sounds so godly, so spiritual. But behind it, it's a scam. Behind it is greed of the humankind. Okay, never mind. It's over. It's past. Let's come back to my story. I knew well as a Christian, as a pastor, following the Bible, obeying the Bible, may mean losing the 100,000. Are you with me? And there is no two way about it. It's either I believe the word, obey the word, or just do the things I want to do. So I decided, I said, Lord, I'm going to obey the word. I'm going to forgive that brother, write off that debt. Now, forgiveness is easy to preach when it doesn't involve money. Do you know forgiveness include writing off the debts? That means you never see the money again. I say, Lord, I surrender. I know I make a mistake. It's gone. I will not take a legal suit against my brother. I will release, let go, forgive, and move on. That was what I decided to do. The next morning. Same place, same garden, same Bible I was reading. But God didn't speak to me from the word the following second morning. But as I was praying, as I closed my eyes, I saw a vision, which is very unusual. I saw across my garden, my little garden, was a word written, one word, prosperity. Just one word written over the garden, and it was in a golden letter. There was no voice, no sound, just a vision of that word prosperity written. And I knew what God was saying to me. Because I obeyed yesterday morning, God was going to prosper me more than what I lost. How many of you know God is able to restore what you have lost? All right? And this is what I did. So sometimes in life, we go through uncertainty, we go through difficulty, we go through so many things. All right, let me give you, just trust God. God is in control. Second thing about life when you go through uncertainty, whether a children education, whether birth, whether marriage, whether whatever decision you're making, and you're going through uncertainty, keep moving. What do you mean by keep moving? Now, you probably see the word catfish and codfish. How many of you like codfish? How many of you are from America? You probably know this story. In America, in the north part, southern part, go one period of time, there were very famous codfish. So codfish was the fish. Now it's salmon fish. Those days was codfish. Codfish was in demand all over America. So those who produce the codfish, they have to make sure that this codfish arrive to those southern part and central America still fresh. People want real fresh codfish. So, of course, they will catch the codfish and freeze them. By the time they reach their destination, you know it's not so fresh. So they try the second method. So what they do is they caught the caught fish live, put in a tank, and ship it over to other parts of America. And even though the caught fish is still alive, but when they eat it, it's not the same fresh as they bite there, eat it there. Somebody came up with a great idea. One smart aleck came up with a great idea. They said, look, this is how we're going to ship the caught fish. We're going to put catfish inside the tank together with the caught fish. Catfish likes caught fish. So they will chase and bite the caught fish. So the caught fish will swim and run. So they put catfish inside the caught fish tank and ship over these caught fish to all over America. And they discovered because of the catfish, the caught fish has to keep on swimming the whole journey. When they arrive at the destination and when they eat the caught fish, it's as fresh as see if that it was caught over there. Everybody say catfish. Sometimes God allows catfish in your life so that you keep on praying. You keep on trusting. You keep on believing God. All right, Dr. Judith, keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on moving. Surely you will arrive fresh and you will not die. Amen. You can trust your God and everything will be well. May I pray that God will send some catfish into your life because you have been still and frozen. So a catfish will help you to be fresh and help you to keep on praying. How many know it's good when something happens so you keep on praying? You keep on believing. You keep on trusting. So whatever uncertainty you're going through, remember God is in control. You can trust Him. And you keep on praying. Keep on doing what you need to do. What you know to do. Follow the Word. Obey the Word. Leave the results to God. Amen? Leave the results to God. I just want to share a quick testimony. I came back from Australia Bible School. I gave up full-time ministry. I used all my savings, used everything. I came back with less than 300 ringgit in my bank account. I don't own anything. I don't even own a bicycle. And God sent me to the nations of the world. Just our air ticket alone, three of us traveling full time, 9 months away in a year in so many countries. Just our my air ticket alone for the last 33 years, my wife 29 years, my son 17 years, he's been to 17 countries at the age of 17. Just the air ticket alone. Don't have to consider the food, the lodging and everything. It's a lot of money. Where the money comes, I don't know. It's definitely more than 100,000. Are you there? Imagine our ticket alone just to Canada or America for three of us. To Africa. To wherever God sent us. To New Zealand, to Australia. So it's a lot of money. And I just wonder where the money comes from. How many know God provides? Amen? So it was a big loss, 100,000. But on hindsight, you can trust God. Even though you are in loss, even though you go through uncertainty. Alright? And lastly, remember our lives are in God's hand. I was just reading this morning Psalms 139. One of my favorite Psalms. Alright, write down Psalms 139 and go back and read when you have time. Now, this psalm is written by David. He has such an understanding, such a revelation as he penned down these psalms. If you read the life of David, he goes through seasons of uncertainty, seasons of pain, season of rain, sunshine. Life is like this. It's not just mountain, but it's also the valley. And only lilies are found in the valley, not on the mountain. Because He is the lily of the valley and the bright and the morning star. So life is up and down, good times, bad times. And it's all kind of a mixture. It's like baking a cake. It all mixed together. Mixed together. Do you know if you eat the flour by itself, it tastes horrible? If you eat the margarine by itself, it's horrible. Or if you eat the sugar by itself, it's horrible. Correct? You eat the fresh egg by itself, it's horrible. But when you mix them all together, put in the oven, bake it for don't know how many degrees, and when it comes out, wow, it's the best thing that happened. Life is like that. God takes a combination of all kinds of situations, experiences, loss, disappointment, achievement, great, if you all get straight A's, but tell you something, there are people who get straight F's, like my nephew. So there are people who get straight F's. Not everybody gets straight A's, right? In business, there are people who go bankrupt. Not everybody who made it. True? In investment. By the way, whenever you do an investment, remember, it may not come back again. It's a risk. And when you lend people money, if you lend people money, at the back of your mind, you must be thinking, you may not see the money again. If you're not willing, don't lend. You see, a person who borrowed money from you is poor already. He don't have money. That's why he borrowed from you. How can he pay back? Use brain a bit. Right? I mean, he already have problem with money. How can he pay you back? That's why he's borrowing from you. So in other words, if you lend him, be prepared not to see the money again. Okay, never mind. You're not money lender, so it's okay. So Psalms 139, David says, God, you are so amazing. You know my rising, you know my going down. You know where I am. You know my very thought. How many of you believe God knows your very thought? He knows the number of your hairs. He can take care of the birds in the air. He can take care of you. He is a great God. We need a revelation, a fresh understanding of who our God, who our Heavenly Father is. And then he says, we are not factory produced. You know what's factory produced? All the same one. Very cheap quality. I used to work in this Matsushita company that sells this rice cooker. I was to check the quality. And everyone same one. Same color, same one. And we are not factory produced. Each one of us have a unique DNA, a unique thumbprint. And he says, David says, we are wonderfully and fearfully made. In other words, you are the most unique person on planet Earth. There is no carbon copy, there is no double, even twins. Each one is unique, created in the image and the likeness and the glory of God. In other words, you are precious, you're unique, you're special. Don't try to be somebody. Don't try to compare with somebody. Don't try to think somebody lower or higher, because there's always somebody higher and lower. Just be content with what God has created you to be, the gifts, the passion, the things that God has placed in your life. You are the most unique person. Amen? So you'll be secure. And then he says something that is so powerful in verse 16. He says, all the days of my life are written in a book. Say, wow. Say, wow. Do you believe that God, who is the author and finisher of your life, He is the Alpha and Omega of your life, He authors all the days of your life. Now, if God authors all the days of your life, what do you think the ending would be? Yes, it's going to be good. It's going to be a wonderful future. Amen? And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because I know He holds my future. This little boy, this little tiny little fella, we don't know his future, but he has a great future. Who knows? He can rub shoulder with Donald Trump's son. Probably Donald Trump will not be the president then. Who knows, he'll be the Prime Minister of Fiji Island. Who knows, he'll be the next CEO. Who knows, he will take over Mars and turn it around. Who knows? True? But one thing I do know, every day of my life is written. And my times are in God's hand. All right? Let me tell you a last story. All my stories are real and true, unless otherwise stated. Some, probably 30 years ago, I was honored, privileged, specially chosen to be the candidate of dengue fever. The time already a full-time ministry, I was a pastor. And I used to go to the hospital to pray for the sick. And now I am in the hospital. And not in the hospital, in the best hospital in the whole world. General Hospital Kuala Lumpur. Third class ward, next to the road, the ceiling fan is going to drop anytime. I think it's already 50 years old. And there are flies. It's just next to the road. And the bed is going to drop off anytime. You know what I'm talking about? Wonderful hospital. It was so crowded, no place. So the only place was at the third class, this hospital, with the ceiling fan that's going to drop anytime. I think you don't die of dengue, you die of the ceiling fan dropping on you. Anyway, so it was a shock to the system that I had dengue fever. And not only I had dengue fever, I have the worst type. I have the hemorrhaging dengue fever. My whole body looks like a reptile. My face was red like a lobster. So every morning, every evening, a doctor will come and examine me. And they will ask a standard question. Are you bleeding? The second morning, when the doctor came to examine me, he asked me the same question. He said, are you bleeding? I said, yes. Because that morning when I went to the toilet, I found I was bleeding. That is a bad sign. Isn't that wonderful? The third morning, say the third morning. Four doctors came to examine me. Usually it's one. Huh? So four doctors, can you imagine? So I was like a guinea pig. So they all examined and they had a discussion. And then they saw Christina was just standing by, very nearby. So one of the doctors went to her and said, how is this man related to you? So my wife said, oh, he's my husband. Not usual for Chinese to marry an Indian, but that's real, he's my husband. The doctor says to her, prepare for the worst. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting when the doctor tells you prepare for the worst? Sometimes doctors are very cruel. Anyway, I mean, they are trying to be nice. And okay, doesn't matter. That night, I knew I was dying. Isn't that interesting? Anybody died before? Oh, sorry, wrong question. You know when you're dying, you know, it's like life and energy leaving you slowly. That night, I knew I was done. I couldn't sleep. Isn't that exciting? I don't know how Peter could sleep in the jail because next day he's going to. I don't know how he slept. Really, I tabbed him. But I couldn't sleep because I knew I was dying. Now, at the same time, I was too young to die. And I had too many prophecies over my life that is not fulfilled. So I was tossing in the bed. And out of desperation, I said, Jesus, I'm sure today you're going to come and heal me. And not only heal me, put healing power in my hands to heal the sick. I said, sounds good, so comforting. So I waited for Jesus to come and heal me. Nothing. So I said, Lord, maybe Jesus, you're so busy, my case is not very serious. Just send an angel. So I waited, and I waited. I was hoping for an angel to come, and a kind of half asleep, half dozed off kind of thing. And suddenly, I heard footsteps. And I saw this figure coming, white somehow. I said, oh, it must be an angel. At last, it was the nurse. Check me and make sure everything was fine. And after some time, I kind of dozed off to sleep. I slept. And while I was sleeping, I had this dream, very strange. I saw this huge clock. A huge clock, a big clock. And it was at 11:59. And I could see so clearly the second hand start moving. I cannot explain to you, but in the dream, as I look at this clock, and as the second hand moves, I know when the second hand hits 12, I will be totally healed. I cannot explain. I just knew. So I was watching intently in this dream, looking at this clock as the second ticks by. Tick, 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 tick. Tick. As it hits 12, I just shouted and screamed, I'm healed. And of course, I got up from my bed, the tubes and everything. But I just knew I was healed supernaturally. The next morning, they take the blood test. I knew the results. My platelet counts come to normal. My blood, everything comes to normal. And I was discharged. Give Jesus a wonderful clap. So the good news is this. It's not time to die. You will not die. Psalmist David says, Psalm 31, the last scripture. It says, my times are in your hand. Your future is in God's hand. Your destiny is in God's hand. Your life is in God's hand. Even though the plane crashed and everybody died, you walk out, you won't die because it's not time for you to go. Amen? And even if you die, you go to heaven, God will send you back. Not time, go back. So you'll come back and sing hallelujah. Amen? All right, let's stand. Now, I'm sure this message speaks to you. Maybe you're going through some time of uncertainty right now. And I'd like you to respond to the message today and just come to the altar call if you can. We'll pray for you as we close and conclude. Could I have the worship team? And let's sing that song, Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow. Alright, you felt the message is spoken to you. You just want to respond to the Word of God. Just come forward. Or you're going through some season of uncertainty, or maybe your loved ones or whoever. Just come forward. And then let me just pray for you before we go, alright? Because He lives, I can face. Just a chorus. With yourself, you're afraid to die. Just come forward. I believe God wants to take away that fear. You don't have to be afraid to die. Death is a victory. Death is a celebration. You're going to a better place. So you don't have to be afraid to die. Really, as a Christian, you have assurance of salvation. Jesus is your Savior. You don't have to be afraid because you're going to go to heaven. Alright? Now, you're honest today, you know you have this fear of dying. Just come forward. Let God take away that fear from your heart. All right? Just come forward. You can be young, you can be old, whatever your age. And you have this fear of death, or fear of sickness, the fear of cancer, or whatever. Just come forward. Let God take away that fear from your heart today. All right? Let's sing that one more time. Because He lives. God sent His Son.
Empty grave is theirs to prove.
serve a living Savior, not a dead Savior. A living Savior. And because He lives, I can face my tomorrow. Right now, those of you who are standing in front, and maybe those who are standing also, just pray this prayer. Say, Lord, hold my hand. Do not let go of my hand, Lord. Please hold my hand, Jesus. I do not know where to go. I cannot see you. I cannot hear you. But Lord, you hold my hand. You lead me. You guide me. My family, my children, my future, my investment. Say, Lord, I fully trust in you, Lord. You are my God, my Father. You're my Redeemer, my Savior. As you put your trust in God, you'll not be disappointed. As you put your trust in God, you'll not be ashamed. He will wipe away your tears of pain and sorrow, even tears of joy. Yes, you can trust in Him. You can just hold His hand. He will never let go of your hand. Though the storms may come, the wind may blow, He'll never let go of your hand. And you know that all will be well. And all is well. All is well. Just receive the assurance today. And all will be well. There is a great future, a great blessing. Just love Jesus and just trust and walk with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God has a future for you, your family. And God will bless and prosper. God will provide for you. Just rest in Him. All will be well. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Great reward in heaven. You store up treasure, not just on earth, but in heaven. As you bless people, as you pray, as you minister to people, you will have your reward. And great shall be your reward. God will take care of your children, your grandchildren. Your prayers are not wasted. Your tears are not wasted. God remembers you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Touch her in a very special way. Touch her, Lord, right now, even Jesus. Take away every anxiety, every fear. Just give it to Jesus. Your fear, your anxiety, your uncertainty of the future. Just give it to Him. He takes care. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. After every storm and rain, there is a beautiful rainbow. Everything we go through is not by chance. It's by design. That God will cause all things to work together for good. For those who love Him. For those who are called according to His purpose. Yes, the good and the bad, the evil. And sometimes we don't understand why we go through what we go through. But all we do is just hold His hand. And everything will be well. You will see the rainbow after the flood. Bless Him. Thank you. Do not worry about your son. All is well. God's hand is upon His life. You just continue to serve God, continue to honor God, continue to walk with God. And you know that God's plan for you and your family is good. That even though the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it for good. And we break every strife, every contention, every evil thoughts, every unforgiveness and bitterness in her, in her family, every anger. We break its power. And Father, we release the peace, the shalom peace, the supernatural peace. Lord, thank you, Jesus. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Just trust Him. He will direct you step by step. Step by step. No good things will He withhold from you as you walk upright. You have a desire to serve God. You want to honor God. You want to serve God. You want to walk with God. You want God's will for your life. God is pleased with you. And He'll use you, He'll bless you, and make you a blessing to many hearts and many lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Touch her in a very special way. You got a big heart for God.
God is pleased with you as you faithfully serve Him in the little ways that you know. God will reward you. God will remember all your labor of love that you have served Him. Thank you, Jesus. You can trust Him. All will be well. The enemy is a liar. What is not perfect will be made perfect. What is not beautiful will be made beautiful in His time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that one more time. Because He lives. Thank you, Jesus. Don't worry about your children. God's hand is upon them. Even as you serve God, even as you honor God, God will honor you. Just like He honor your family, your brothers, and He will honor your children, your grandchildren. As for you and your house, you shall serve the Lord. Father, restore what the locusts have eaten, what that has been lost. Father, you restore back for my brother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Touch her in a very special way today, Lord. Lord, let her have the deep assurance that God truly loves you. It's not just a statement. It's not something that preachers preach. It's truth that God loves you very much. And you are a special child of God. You're unique, created in Christ Jesus. And there are many blessings in store for your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You are unique, fearfully and wonderfully made. God has a plan, a purpose for your life. You don't feel it. You do not know what the future holds. Just hold His hand and you can face tomorrow, because He holds your future and He holds your tomorrow. You got a bright future. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, touch her. Bless her in a very special way, according to your faith, according to your hope, according to your desire. Be it done unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Don't worry. Don't worry. He takes care of the birds in the air. He feeds them. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of your future. Just one day at a time, all will be good. All will be well. All will be excellent. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Lord, touch you in a very special way. Thank you, Lord. Receive the special blessings from God's name. You are special. You are created special in the sight of God. Don't try to be somebody. Don't try to be imitate somebody. Don't try to compare with somebody. You are beautiful. And God will work out everything beautiful in His time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The Lord God is the Son of you. To give grace and glory. No good things. Yes, no good things will it withhold from you. As you continue to seek His face, as you continue to walk upright, that is a wonderful future in store for you. Receive in Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up hope. There is hope in you. Great days in store for you. Great joy will fill your heart. Great glory. Thank you, Lord. Blessing in Jesus. Special blessing upon her. Remove every fear, every anxiety in her heart, Lord. Lord, grant her shalom, peace. I give you praise. Thank you, Father. Lord, touch him in a special way. I thank you for the blessed assurance. Thank you for the blessed assurance that all is well, all be well, and the future is good and bright. Receive in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray especially for those who are afraid to die. Can you just come forward and raise your hand? Don't be afraid to die. Anybody else, you're afraid to die, come forward. Let me pray for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you, Lord. You just take away every fear, every anxiety from our heart. And Lord, we know that you are our Heavenly Father. You're a good Father. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Just see a beautiful sunset. So beautiful, with all the various colors and various
artistic work of God. And God says your life is like an artistic work of a beautiful sunshine. And it's going to end with great glory and honor and beauty. And many are going to be touched and many are going to be blessed. Even through your life, through your love, through your smile, through your hug, through your handshake. And God says you have great reward in heaven waiting for you. And every day is blessed. Every day is blessed and a blessing to people. And you're going to grow strong and well. And finish strong and finish well. Father, bless her. And Lord, it is true for many others too, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, just thank you, Lord. Grant him long life, divine health. Let him see the children's children. And Lord, grant every desire of his heart and his life, Father. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Bless them. Bless them, Father. Whatever they ask, whatever they pray, whatever they come, Lord, be done unto you. In Jesus' name, just receive. Receive, receive. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless them. Bless them, Father. Whatever they come for, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Don't have to worry. Don't have to be afraid.
Can we just finish? But let me just pray.
Surrender to God. All will be
Father, Lord, we just pray that you will release us with your blessings. We ask, God, that your face will shine upon us.
Grace, your mercy. It's always sufficient.
May you just
for you.
Refresh us this week. Strengthen us to walk a victorious week. We thank you for today. We give you all the glory.
Bless God. Grant the desire of your heart.
You may be dismissed.
Amen.